Pleasant good morning to you. We have a number of people visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll stay around a few moments after. Let us get to greet you, get to know you a little bit. We do hope you'll open your Bibles with us as we look to God's Word this morning. We're going to start in Romans chapter 10 in just a moment. We have several of our own members who are back with us after having been gone for a few weeks with illness. We're glad that you're here as well and hope to encourage you as you have encouraged us. I want you to imagine a moment that at your house you have a tree that needs trimmed, and you're still young enough and healthy enough, you think, well, you know, I think I'm just going to climb this tree. It's only like 15, 20 foot tall. I think I can trim this out and make this get fixed. And so with your saw in your hand, you assault the tree and you give it a good pruning. And you climb down and you step back to admire your work and you blanch and you go, oh my, I've killed the tree because I cut too much. Unfortunately, most of us who are homeowners have probably attacked some problem on the house with great zeal, but because of our lack of knowledge, we made the problem worse. Can you relate? I've done that. For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider what Scripture reveals about zeal and knowledge. And let's look at the reading here in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1. Romans 10 and verse 1. Scripture says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." Zeal refers to a heat within us, a passion. Knowledge is certainly referring to an understanding. Many have zeal without knowledge. It's heat without light and activity without guidance. And there's a lot of examples of this in Scripture. The first is here in Romans chapter 10 regarding the Jewish nation. The salvation of the Jews, mentioned in verse 1, had not yet been accomplished because of their misplaced zeal. Their zeal was real. Back in chapter 9 and verse 31, it said they pursued a law of righteousness. Theirs was not a hollow or half-hearted attempt to please God. They were pursuing the law of Moses. However, their zeal was misplaced because chapter 9, verse 31 says they did not arrive at that law. Verse 32 tells us why. It's because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They thought they could meritoriously keep the law of Moses and be righteous with God without having faith. Furthermore, Romans 9, 32 and 33 says they stumbled over the stumbling stone, who is Jesus Christ. They could not accept that Jesus was the promised and prophesied Messiah. They could not accept the new covenant in his blood. Now in Romans 10 and verse 2, it says their zeal was not in accordance with knowledge. They did not know God's righteousness, both in pursuing the law by faith or in God's will regarding salvation in Christ Jesus. Instead, they sought to establish their own righteousness, and they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Their own righteousness is easily observed in the Pharisees, who dictated and observed traditions as if they were the law of God. The context demands the Jews wanted to meritoriously keep that law and reject the Messiah. So the Israelites are the example in Romans of zeal without knowledge. But they're not the only biblical example. Simon Peter was guilty of this as well. In Matthew chapter 17, we read about how Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah appeared talking with him. Matthew 17 and verse 4, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. God corrected his understanding and gave him the knowledge he was lacking by saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter wanted to do something good, but in the process he failed to understand that Jesus was more glorious than Moses or Elijah because he was the Son of God. Consider also with me in Matthew chapter 26. And let's read beginning in verse 51 about Peter. Matthew 26 and verse 51. Behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once at my disposal, put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? Peter had said in verse 35 of this chapter, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. His zeal is never questioned, even as he took his sword into his hand. Jesus gives Peter two explanations, demonstrating how Peter lacked in knowledge. God would give Jesus 12 legions of angels. In the Roman army, that would have been 70,000 troops, 72,000 troops. Jesus effectively telling Peter, I don't need you to fight for me. More importantly, he said the scriptures must be fulfilled, which says this has to happen this way. Jesus speaks of Peter's lack of scriptural knowledge, which I have to think would have been a blow to his ego. He had to look back on this event in later years, understanding how he had demonstrated zeal without knowledge. In years to come, when the Holy Spirit guided him into all the truth, you wonder how he looked back at this event and saw himself zealously doing what he thought was right, trying to stop the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation that God was bringing. The Apostle Paul was also guilty of having zeal without knowledge. In Acts chapter 22, and in verse 3, Acts 22 and verse 3, he says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. Paul speaks of himself in Philippians 3:6, saying, as to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. His zeal for God has never been questioned, just as the Jews had a zeal for God. But he was against the way, those who were Christians, just like the Jews were at this point against Paul in the teaching of Christ. They believed the need to follow the old covenant, and to persecute anything and anyone that would try to change it. In Acts 26 and in verse 9, Acts 26 and verse 9, Paul says, so then I thought to myself, I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He had to have thought to himself, perhaps his own righteousness, which was against the law of God, which taught men should follow the Messiah and welcome the new covenant, as mentioned in Jeremiah 31. I think he's pointing to his own misplaced zeal. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 13, Paul speaks of himself again. 1 Timothy 1 and in verse 13, he says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. This word ignorantly means not to know. His lack of knowledge, or perhaps his willingness to ignore Scripture, I have to think he didn't know, was a cause of Paul's unbelief in Jesus as the Messiah. But notice, ignorance did not in itself mean he was going to be forgiven. It is a less culpable cause of unbelief than pride or willful hardening of oneself against the truth. But it is Christ's plea of intercession for his murderers that Paul is speaking of here, his unbelief. Jesus was saying in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And now in Acts chapter 3, let's look at Peter's recorded sermon. Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Their acts, zeal, in ignorance, lacking knowledge, nevertheless meant they needed to repent. And they were guilty of sin. Paul is a good example of one who was zealous without knowledge. And so is Apollos. In Acts chapter 18 and in verse 25, it speaks of Apollos, Acts 18 and 25. It says that this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Fervent in spirit, meaning he was hot in his spirit. He had a passion for this. Great zeal. But he did not have full knowledge. Priscilla and Aquila explained to him the way of God more accurately, and then his zeal, coupled with knowledge, allowed him to powerfully refute the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. There are many in our society who claim to be religious and have a lot of zeal, but they often have no knowledge or very little knowledge. That's easily seen in how many today want to refer to a preacher as a pastor and view a pastor as a single leader of a congregation, where Scripture indicates a plurality of elders are to lead in a congregation. Many zealously defend their faith and point to Scripture, but only follow the parts of Scripture they agree with. So many today claim to be a Christian, but they have so little knowledge of the Word of God. If you hand them a paper copy of the Bible, they're lost and can't find their place at all. They don't know if it's an Old Testament book or a New Testament book. They don't know if it's a book or not. You know, that's when you say, turn to the book of Apollos. And they go, okay. They start looking for it. People don't know. And that's just a sad reality that we see. Most can't tell when a passage is figurative or literal, and so they misunderstand obviously figurative passages. Many religiously minded people are divorcing and remarrying. They cling to their zeal for God, but they lack the knowledge of what God says, that they are committing sin in marrying when they don't have the right to do so. They don't have the authority from God to do so. The same idea is apparent in the zeal to do good works, but the lack of apparent knowledge about God's will for the use of the treasury from the Lord's church is apparent. What I want us to see is that there is a danger of zeal without knowledge. Saul's zeal without knowledge brought havoc upon the church. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Israel was zealous, but they were not saved. Those who run in the dark run to their own destruction. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus says, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." If I don't have the knowledge for what I'm doing, I'm going to run into the pit. I'm going to be lost eternally. We cannot be those who lack in knowledge. Now, I think a more common problem in the Lord's church today is that many have knowledge without zeal. Light without heat. Understanding without activity. Faith without works. And examples of this can also be found in Scripture. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and the first three verses. Revelation chapter 3. And beginning in verse 1, says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you." They had heard and received the word of God, but they were dead without activity. Their deeds were not completed. They needed to keep what they'd received and heard, implying their application and obedience had not yet been accomplished as much as it needed to be. We can see this same idea in the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 7. It says, "You were running well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth?" At first they were devoted Christians, but they've lost their heat. They've lost their zeal. They are told in Galatians 5:13, "Through love serve one another," speaking of very zealous activities and doing good deeds that they needed to be doing. Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another." And sadly, that's a reality among congregations that have Church of Christ on the sign. Their zeal for God is lacking. Their knowledge puffs them up, so that bickering and fighting prevails. And brethren, that is not the way of God. Many Christians today know the truth of God, but they have little or no zeal. There's a full discernment of God's will. They understand it. They just don't have any heat for doing it. We know what God wants of us. We just allow other things to become more important. So there's no zeal. The burning desire in our heart cannot be missing. We need the attitude of Jeremiah, recorded in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, that said, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name. If they say that to him, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. His zeal would not allow him to be silent, though he knew they didn't accept the message. The desire to speak to others of God or of Jesus, as our brother Arturo was saying earlier, is often missing in Christians. And we have to see that as wrong. Why is that zeal not present? The lack of zeal is evidenced in many areas of application, like volunteering to help at the congregation or with brethren. independently organizing some spiritual effort without being prodded by someone else to be involved in it. Seeking to do good for others, choosing to use my free time to benefit others rather than my selfish wants and desires. Knowledge without zeal is a real issue for many Christians. And I want you to hear this. There is danger in having knowledge without zeal. We become complacent. And we become indifferent. We need the zeal of the heart on fire to care about what happens within the church and with others. If a brother or sister is spiritually struggling, we will be zealous in reaching out to them. This is part motivated by our love for them, but primarily because our love for God and what He has done for us. We're going to have an abiding concern about what is taught in the church. There's a danger that we will adopt a spectator mentality rather than the one who is a participant active in service. Without internal motivating heat that pushes us to serve, we take that mentality we've all heard of. Oh, we're going to let brother so-and-so take care of it. Somebody else is going to do this. That's somebody else's job. It's not mine. I'd love to be brother so-and-so. And sister, she can do it. Because they're always doing everybody else's job, seems. Some Christians live with an expectation that everyone should be doing for them. They want to be a recipient, but they don't want to serve others. And if they were to fall away from the truth, it's everyone else's fault. And I've heard people tell me this. No one called me. No one wrote to me. No one visited me. No one sought to encourage me. But the reality is they had withdrawn themselves. They didn't develop relationships with others. They weren't doing things for other people. And other people didn't even know their phone number because they never gave it to anybody. But it's everybody else's fault. There are times our good brothers struggle to arrange enough men to meet the tasks for our worship assemblies. And I'm thankful to see there's often 6-7 men standing back there next to Jason going, "What can I do to help?" Man, what would it be like if every man went back into the assembly area back there before we started? Jason's standing there with 30 men. Wow. We ought to have that desire to serve, to want to do. We see zeal so apparent in some worldly activities where there's no shortage of volunteers who are energetic to be used. I think of political candidates and all of their people who come out to rally the vote. Or I think of Feeding the Hungry campaigns, and they'll have 600 volunteers show up to hand out food. We even see good zeal among those who follow false religion. Where is the active participating zeal of the children of God? We have to realize our soul can be in danger if we don't have this right attitude and behavior. There's a danger in self-deception if we have a lack of zeal. Because of our knowledge of God's Word, we can believe that we are right because of the things we've done at some point in our life. I obeyed the gospel. I taught a class. I led singing. I even helped someone else learn the gospel, and they obeyed it. God wants us to be zealous for good works now. Hopefully you have been in the past, but today is the day the Lord has given us. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And let's be zealous in it. At whatever stage of life we're in. A lack of zeal is a danger to us because I believe it to be a sinful state. James 4:17, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We know God tells us to go out and do good works to convey his gospel to others. We know this, but we're not doing it. That's dangerous. There's a danger because the lack of zeal brings condemnation. In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 47, Luke chapter 12 and verse 47, Jesus, in the midst of a parable, gives the teaching that a slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. We know what he tells us to do, but we don't do it. We understand the attitude of any businessman toward an employee. He knew the right thing to do and didn't do it. We know how that response is going to go, even more so with God. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So do we really love God? Do we love Christ? What are our deeds like? What all men need, what all believers need, is zeal and knowledge. Light and heat, understanding and activity. That's what God wants from each of us. And there's examples of this in Scripture as well. Look at one with me in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13. Philippians 3 and 13, Paul says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on is what all of us need to do. We forget what lies behind, the things I failed to do or the things that I did do. That's all yesterday and beyond. Today is the day I have to live. So today I'm pressing on. I forget about those things. Today is what matters. So I reach forward to what lies ahead. I strive to be found righteous by God with all the capacity that's within me. So I need to stop living by the same standard to which I have attained in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:16. I can't stop being zealous. You ever had anybody tell you that as an older Christian, oh, I've retired from all of that sort of thing? Meaning I don't teach classes. I don't go door knocking. I don't share the gospel with anybody. I've retired from that. Really? Have you read the prophets? Most of them were prophets in their very old age, to the point of death. They're still the prophet of God. They never retired. Have you read about the apostles? They were the apostle till the day they died. They never retired. Where do we get that notion? We can't stop being zealous. We can see the example of this people in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were continually devoting themselves. That was the right attitude. Their zeal about the word which they have received. And we need to make that application in our life. There are blessings that come to us because of zeal and knowledge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, we can read where the Apostle Paul writes, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Because of the things we now know, are you then going to fight the good fight, which is about your own obedience to God? Are you going to finish the course, or are you going to quit too soon? Are we going to keep the faith? There is no time to relax. There is no time to have a lack of zeal in our life. We never get to stop as a Christian. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." Even when people are going to threaten to kill you as a Christian, you never stop. And I would end the lesson with Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1. A familiar passage to many of us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Maybe that's where some of us are. We've grown weary and lost heart. Well, what do? We need to consider Jesus. Look back at Jesus. How did he live his life? As a Christian, do you possess knowledge and zeal? If you've demonstrated a lack of zeal in your service to God, I urge you to repent. It's very serious. You can't continue in this way and think that you're pleasing God. You need to recognize your sin. You need to turn from it. You need to seek God's forgiveness and then begin doing all of the things that God says we are to do. Titus 2 and verse 14 says that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's the descriptive that should be put on every one of our tombs. Child of God, zealous for good deeds. You may be the one who has a zeal for God and his word, but you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your knowledge must be lacking, because if you desire to please him, you're going to want to know everything that he's revealed. You should want to have a complete understanding so as to know that you have obeyed him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Scripture says we need to repent of our sin, turning away from it, changing our conduct in life. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin and into Christ. If you've never obeyed that gospel plan of salvation, then your zeal alone will not save you. You're in fact in the same position as the Jews that Paul wrote about in Romans 10:2. They have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Recognize perhaps your lack of obedience, and I urge you to submit yourself in full obedience to God. In this lesson, you've heard all that God wants of us. Do you have the zeal, the heat, the excitement and fervor of spirit? Does that motivate you then to obey God? If you need to respond to that invitation, I urge you to come forward now. Let's stand and sing.